Last week we were talking about Tubav, the 15th of Av. We were talking about Nisuin, marriage. These 7 weeks, the 7 weeks after Tisha B'Av, we have the seven special readings from the Haftarah. These weeks that are called the Shiva de Nechemta, the 7 weeks where Hashem is comforting and consoling the Jewish people, beginning with Nachamu and so on. The dialogue between Hashem and the Jewish people, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, but the people are not being consoled. They want to hear directly from Hashem until Hashem says, Anochi, Anochi, Yom Nachamchem. I myself am comforting, consoling you. Seven Shabbos, Sheva Brachos. But it's difficult for the Jewish people to be consoled. And we spoke about marriage, and we have to speak about divorce. It's an unpleasant subject. But we have to understand, how could such a thing happen? Where does it come from? Many people, I'm sure, could explain to me how it happened to them. Because in the Haftarah this past Shabbos, we see that there is this concern that, God forbid, a divorce has taken place. The Navi Yeshayahu begins by expressing the fear of the Jewish people. The Haftarah from the Shabbos was from Yeshayahu, Perek Memtes, Perek Nun, 49 and 50. The fear of Knesset Yisrael, that Toimer Tzion Azavani Hashem. Tzion says, Yushalayim has claimed Azavani Hashem, that Hashem has deserted me. Hashem has deserted me, Azavani Hashem. Vahashem Shcheichani. And Hashem has forgotten me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying, kivyachol, to console us. Until finally, Hashem calls out through His prophet, through the prophet Yeshayahu, Ko Amar Hashem. This is what Hashem said. Where is the book of divorce that indicates that I have divorced you? Or your mother, meaning that I have divorced the Jewish people. Where is the book of divorce? Where is the Sefer Krisus? Sefer Kritut means the book of separation, which is another word for a get, a bill of divorce. Eize Sefer Krisus imchem asher shlachtiha. And is there any proof that I have sold you? If you feel, or if it appears that you've been sold, and if it appears that you've been rejected, it's because of your sins. It's because of your sins. But Hashem says, Eize Sefer Krisus, where is it? Have I given a divorce? Is there a get? So what brought this about? In other words, what was it that precipitated this response on Hashem's part? It's the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Hei. The Gemara says that there were ten Jews, apparently, who had some position of importance. The 10 Jews came to Yeshayahu HaNavi. And Yeshayahu told them, Omer lahen, the Gemara says, Chizru b'tshuva. The Navi said to them, do tshuva. Return to Hashem. Get the people to return. Chizru b'tshuva. Omru lo. They said to the Navi, they said to the prophet Yeshayahu, Eved shemochrei rabbi. A slave who has been sold by his master. V'isha shegarsha baila. And a woman who's been divorced by her husband. Klum yesh lezal ze klum. Now we're not going to focus on the slave-master relationship. That's not for now. We spoke about that at different times. We're going to focus on the husband-wife, the divorce issue. So when the Navi Yeshayahu said, do tshuva, return to Hashem. So they responded by saying, if a husband sends his wife away, if the marriage has concluded, klum yesh lezal ze klum, so could I have a taina? Could one have, in other words, what right do I have to, I mean, what point is there in returning to Hashem? There's no one to whom I can return. In other words, I've been rejected and we're now divorced. It's finished. If there'd be a relationship and we needed some work and some therapy, so then something could be done. But they're saying is that, it seems that it's finished and what am I going to return? How could I return? I don't have a home to where I can return. So in the end of this, Omalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, LaNavi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem told the Navi, told Yeshayahu, Leich Emor Lahen, go and tell them, Eizeh Sefer Kritzos Imchem, Asher Shalachtiha. Where is the book of divorce? Have I ever given a divorce to the Jewish people? Show me. I never have given them a get. So now we have a little bit of historical information. That when the Navi Yeshayahu came and told this to the Jewish people, he was responding to a specific fear that had been expressed by Knesset Yisrael. And the fear was that the Jewish people have been divorced. Therefore, we don't have a home to where we can return. It's finished. The relationship is over. And to this, Hashem tells the Navi, go and tell them, I'd like to see, when did I ever write them a get? Where is there a divorce? Who said? On this pasuk in the Navi, we have a comment from the Malbim. Listen carefully to the Malbim's words, and we'll return to this the last minute or two. But listen carefully to the Malbim. Hamagarish es ishtoi mi beiso. If a man is magarish his wife, if a man separates from his wife. Yeah, omer bnei shemo asba. There could be a couple of reasons. One reason could be because he's disgusted with her. There's something that's disgusting. Omer bnei shemar de kenegdo, or perhaps she has been rebellious. Again, all of this can be understood in reverse as well. When a wife sees that in a husband, vice versa. But the lush and the lashonus, the language that's being used, is the language of the Rishonim, because that's the way that it was presented in the story of Hashem and Klai Yisrael. So the Malbim says, V'yesh hevdel b'neihem. There's a difference between these two situations. Im mishalcha mebnei shemazba mishalcha l'chalutn. If the separation is as a result of that he finds her to be completely loathsome and completely disgusting, and she sees that in him. So then it's forever. And that, by the way, is the end of the book of Eicha. That's the fear that we express at the end of Eicha. We say, Imaos ma'astonu. Hashem, are you totally disgusted with us? Do you find us to be completely disgusting? So then it's lechalutin, then it's lechalutin, I mean it's final. V'naisen b'yodah sefer krisis, and he gives her a divorce. And then there's no hope that he's going to return. But if there was a problem that developed between the two of them, she still is appealing, is beautiful to him. But there came up in the relationship a difficulty, which he interpreted, again, or vice versa, that one of the parties interpreted as being some degree of unfaithfulness or some degree of, again, I'm not talking halacha now where there's an unfaithfulness that doesn't permit them to return to each other. But something has happened to cause one to feel negative feelings towards the other. But we're not dealing with a state of mius, of feeling disgrace, of disgust, that's not disgusting. So then the Malbim says, Megarsha mi beisa rak lefisha. It's a temporary separation. Ve'eno nosen biyada sefer krisus. And he doesn't actually deliver, he doesn't give her a divorce. There's no get. Ve'eis teit of ma'aseha yoshiva lebeisa. When that stage of rebelliousness or the combative state has been completed, so then she comes home. And they could have even more love than before. Because she hasn't become disgusting or ugly or unappealing to him. There's been a problem in their relationship. So the Malbim says that this is what the Navi is saying, Eze Sefer Krisus, I never gave a get. You think that Hashem, the Navi is telling the Jewish people, you think that Hashem is Maos Mastonu, that he can't stand to look at you. And therefore he's divorced you and he never wants you back. So the Navi is saying, no, Hashem says I never gave them a get. The problem is, as the Pasuk says, that because of their sins, we're separated. The Pasuk says. In other words, this is a state of separation because the Jewish people haven't been behaving. There's rebelliousness that has crept into the relationship, so Hashem's not getting along with us, and not getting along with him. But Hashem is waiting for the day to return home. To have us back. That's the Malbim. So let's understand a little bit about divorce. Since the Jewish people are worried about it. You know how many couples I know that when they've gotten married, before they were married, they were already expressing to me very deep concerns about what will happen if I get divorced. It's not a good sign. There's a Gemara, there's a Masechta in Shas. There's a whole volume in the Gemara and Talmud that's singularly devoted, it deals with many other topics, of course, but it's devoted primarily to the subject of divorce, and the Masechta is called Gittin. It's a wonderful, wonderful Masechta. It's a shame that it's talking about something that's so unfortunate. So we have a rule that if you want to know the neshama, the soul of a Masechta, of a Gemara, you can determine that by understanding in the deepest way possible the first Mishnah. In general, you know that all beginnings are the neshama. The beginnings are very important. The beginning of a day, the beginning of a marriage, the beginning of life. The beginning of a Masechta is its soul. It's neshama. And therefore one must find, and you find very often, by the way, that Tosfos will raise this question in its own unique way. Because Tosfos' understanding is that the Masechta should begin with the essence of that subject. Because it is the essence of that matter. So the beginning of the first Mishnah in Gittin. It's talking about a very, very strange case. Haimevi get mimdinas hayom. It's speaking about a husband who lives outside of the land of Israel, outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's called Medinas Hayom. We'll talk more about why is it called the land of the sea. exile is called the Medina Sayyam, the land of the ocean, of the sea. So there's a husband that lives in the Medina Sayyam, and he has sent his wife through messengers, he has sent his wife a get, a bill of divorce. And the Mishnah goes on to discuss the credibility of this type of a shlichus, of this agency, and the difficulties that might be there in carrying out this agency, and how that get can be confirmed as a legitimate, valid document and so on. But our concern here is now, why would the first Mishnah, which is the root and soul, it's the root and soul, it's the essence of Gerushin, of divorce, why would it begin with such a bizarre story? Certainly it can happen. Hamevi get Medina Sayyam, to begin with a story of someone who's bringing a divorce from across the ocean, Teretz Yisrael, or sending a divorce. It should begin with what is a get? What is a get? And how does it work? What's the get itself? What is a divorce? What is the halachic means of separation, which the Masechta talks about later on? But instead, Rabbeinu HaKadosh began Masechta Gittin, began the Gemara, began the Mishnah with a strange and very with a case that's very unlikely, much less likely to happen. If I may be getting Medina Sayyam, a get that is sent from the Medina Sayyam. How does this reflect the root, the essence of what a get is? It must be doing that if it's the beginning of the Masechta. So let's talk about marriage a little bit. For many of you, I would like that you should just get married and we shouldn't have to just talk about marriage. Because Hashem should be soon. But let's talk for a few minutes. The Rebbe of the Jewish people is the Rambam. And the Rambam wrote a sefer called Sefer HaMitzvos. It's a very small sefer. They have many, many mefarshim, but it's a small sefer, where he lists the 613 mitzvahs, positive and negative, according to his opinion. And of course, you all know that there are tremendous debates between the Rishonim of how we categorize the 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs is very, very important because he not only is listing the mitzvah, but he's defining the essence of each mitzvah, the geder and halacha of what that mitzvah really is. And interestingly enough, when the Rambam is adding up the 613 mitzvahs, marriage takes up two mitzvahs, not one. Takes up two mitzvahs. There are disagreements. Not everybody agrees with this. The Rambam says first there's a mitzvah, Lisa Isha. Means there's a mitzvah to get married. And then there's a second mitzvah. The Rambam says that there's a mitzvah to get married, Laholid Yiladim, for the purpose of having children. For the purpose of Puruvu, of having children. So it's clear from the Rambam, as it's been pointed out by many of the Mefarshim, it's clear from the Rambam that those people who believe that the entire purpose of being married is to bring children to the world, and there are many people who do think that, and as a result of that I have spoken to many couples who unfortunately have not yet had the privilege, the bracha of having children, and they therefore can't understand the purpose of their lives and why their marriage seems to be leading to an empty home and empty lives and so on. But the Rambam is telling us, as it's understood by many tzaddikim, that there are two inyonim in marriage. There is a mitzvah bifnei atzma, there is an independent mitzvah that has its own inherent independent purpose of marriage for its own sake. And in addition to that, the second component of the mitzvah is to try to have children. So marriage has its marriage is a key of mitzvahs. Marriage is itself a mitzvah bifnei atzma within itself. with its own self-contained purpose that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that a man and a woman should marry. And that desire of Hashem is a tachlis within itself. Not just, I want you to get married because that's a hechet timsa, that's only in order that there should be children, more Jews in the world, more Torah, more light, all of that, which is good. That's a separate mitzvah. But the Rambam is telling us there's a mitzvah of marriage bifnei atzma within itself. And Hashem made the world in such a way. I mean, even without the Rambam, we'd say it looks like it. Now we have an expression in Chazal, and this in their own unique way, but they're basically, this expression is a way of expressing that which all of us have thought about and have wondered about, and Hashem's mysterious plans for the world and for each and every one of us. The expression in Chazal, Rechaim b'tzavaro v'yasek b'torah, which literally means that if a person is attached, if a person is schlepping, is attached to the grinding stone, to the millstone, how is he supposed to sit and learn Torah? In other words, it's very simple. If we are to understand that the tachlis of this world is somehow to be accomplished by each individual Jewish man and woman attaching himself or herself to the master of the world, through the study of Torah and through contemplating Hashem's greatness, v'chulu v'chulu, and all that's involved, then one would have to come to the realization, inescapable realization, that marriage to a large extent undermines that progress. Undermines that progress. And the way that I discussed this and I explained this on Shabbos, and to try to just make this very clear, please excuse me for sounding so unrefined, but if a person would sit, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have created an individual that the human being would be able to sit and to think about the Ribono Shel Olam and to find his purpose in life, the question is, at what expense does the person become tied down to worrying about earning a living so that you should be able to support a family? And the example that I gave is that, you know, we've all found ourselves, you know, with long shopping lists in the grocery and taking care of this and that and some occasionally having to drive the kids to school in different places, so on. And all of that time could have been spent in a Gemara, in a Rambam, in Tanakh, saying Tehillim, for greater people, you know, in the Zohar Kodesh, in the writings of the Arizal. Marriage takes up a lot of time. And this whole business about, you know, about forming a relationship and all the time and effort that goes into a relationship, into creating a relationship and into sustaining a relationship over the years. All of that energy that could have been used in reaching the tachlis of one's life, which is attachment to God. Instead, trying to find a place where you can buy flowers to bring, you know, home or something. And trying to figure out what to do. And many, many, many dots after that sentence that are involved in marriage. On kinder, even without the children. In marriage itself. I mean, how much pain there's in this parasha for those that have been trying and it doesn't work out, and when it does work out, it's high maintenance. Requires a lot of maintenance. A lot of kaiches, a lot of work. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said that in order for you to fulfill my plan in creation, in order for you to be a Jew, so the Torah says, V'dovak pi ishtai, v'hoyu l'basar echad. Kadosh Baruch Hu made a shidduch between Adam and Chav, Adam and Eve. We spoke last week about the loneliness and so on. Hashem made a shidduch. And Hashem is still making shidduch. Chazal tells us that's what Hashem is mostly preoccupied with. Although some would say that they haven't experienced that. But Hashem is mostly preoccupied with shidduch since the time of creation. So it must be. It must be. That there's a tachlis. Not only is there a tachlis in marriage, but that somehow marriage itself is able to reveal, and only through marriage can the etzim ha-tachlis be revealed. The deepest tachlis in creation. The deepest purpose. Only through marriage. And I know that that sentence can cause pain for people. I'm aware of that. Omer Rabbi Shimon says in the Zohar HaKadosh, Omer Rabbi Shimon, Zivuga d'dcharonukve ikri echad. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught that the zivig between a zochen and a keva, a male and a female, ikri echad. That is called oneness. That is called one. Meaning that alone is called one. Hashem and that. So Rabbi Shimon says, my time, why? Begin the dchor b'lay nukva pla guf ikri. Because one without the other, a man without a wife, a wife without a husband, is called plag gufa, a half of a human being. Plag gufa. Uplag lav hu chad, and half is not one. Half doesn't equal one. Ivikad mischarben bechada, tre palgi, and when the two halves join together to form one, then is avidu chad gufa, they become one, ukedein ikri echad. And now they can be called, each one can be called echad one. Echad one. And we've spoken about this before. And we're coming close to Rosh Hashanah, which is the day, it's called the Yom HaNesira, the day of the sawing in half. Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, came to the world according to one understanding, one explanation, which is accepted by the Mekubalim. It's absolute truth. That they came, that the first human being came with half Adam and half Chava. And then Hashem saw that in half, that took place in Rosh Hashanah, that's called the day of the cutting in half, or the sawing in half. But the Zohar tells us that really, the true zivug, the true match, before they came into this world, they were one neshama in the higher world. One neshama, one soul. And it wasn't only Adam and Chava, it's not only Adam and Eve that experienced the nesira, the sowing in half. But every neshama was torn in half, was split in two, and that has created in the world an immeasurable amount of longing, desire, longing, hope for each one to find the other half, the plag gufa of that original neshama, of the original soul that was one. And only when they find each other, then the Zohar Kodesh, Rabbi Shimon says, they become Echad, one. So this doesn't mean a partnership. You'll find you will find obscene terms like that being used when discussing marriage. Shutfas, like partners. We spoke about this last week, that the Nisuan marriage is the recreation of an extraordinary being not just two things that have become, that are joined together, but two things that have rejoined, reunited to create the most exalted thing in the world. Chosn and Kal and Ish v'Isha. And only with that koach of reunion, of reunification, can each one fulfill his or her own purpose in creation. Now why is that if we have to go shopping and take care of all these different things and so on? We've spoken about that many, many times. I don't want to get into that. That's a different Torah. That's a different Torah. That's the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will being expressed, dafka in conquering this world, with matters of this world. If Hashem wanted angels, they would have remained one soul in heaven. Hashem wants that longing. Hashem wants us to know what that longing is all about, and to be able to serve Him in this physical world, under those circumstances, and to learn how to love Him, dafka, through the love that can exist between a chasna and kala, husband and wife. That's a different Torah. The Baal Shem Tov said, "Besoid hazivugim, afilu malochim usrofim enim yodim." The mystery of marriage, of zivugim, of how this takes place, match, how people are matched together. This, the Zohar Kodesh says, this mystery, even the Baal Shem Tov said rather, that this mystery, even the angels don't know. Even the angels don't know. And the Baal Shem Tov said, because if the angels knew, then I would also know. Because whatever the angels knew, the Baal Shem Tov knew. So the Baal Shem Tov said that he checked and he found that there isn't an angel, there isn't a malach that knows this whole business of zivugim, of how it works, of what the Rebbein Shalom is doing. And the same Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, we received from Kedosh HaElyon, from great and holy people, that the Baal Shem Tov couldn't stop crying over the death of his wife. And the Baal Shem Tov said that all of his life he was hoping to be able to leave this world the way that Eliyahu HaNavi did, in a chariot of fire, not to have to be buried in this physical earth. He was hoping to die in such a way to rise in a storm to heaven. But because his wife passed away before him, the Baal Shem Tov said that this was no longer possible. Because only the Odom HaSholem, only the one who has perfected himself, can rise in a storm. The Baal Shem Tov said that with the death of my Rebbetzin, with the death of my wife, that opportunity has been lost. I was hoping we would go together in such a storm to Shemayim. Okay, having heard this, having spoken about this a little bit, so now it's even more difficult to talk about divorce, but it's even more important to talk about it. Chazal say, "Kol magaresh ishta rishayna." Afilu mizbeach married a loved Morris. For somebody to divorce his first wife, how this works with the first or the second, that takes us beyond the time that we have for now and the nature of this discussion. But the Gemara says that with his divorce, afilu mizbeach married a loved Morris, the mizbeach, the altar in the Beis HaMikdash, is crying. And don't think, well, it's a good thing there's no Beis HaMikdash, there'd be a lot of crying going on. The crying is going on. The Mizbeach is there somewhere and it's crying each time. We understand the Mizbeach is crying because the Mizbeach is that point where heaven and earth touch. The Mizbech is the point where Yudke and Vavke meet, where the higher world and the lower world are able to come together. And you all know that in a marriage, the Ish, Aleph Yud Shin, and the Isha, Aleph Shin Hei, that when things are done, when it's a correct zivug, that you have the name Yudke of Hashem. And if not, if the name Yudke from Hashem is removed, then we have the fire of the Churban of destruction of the Mizbech being burned. Because the unification, Hashem's oneness, which is the Mizbech, which is the Beis HaMikdash, which is the place of the unification. Hashem's oneness depends upon the human being's oneness. And the human being's oneness depends upon the plag gufa, the half of a human being being joined together with the other half to form the chod, the echod, which the Zohar HaKadosh spoke about. The Mizbech is crying when that doesn't work out. When there's a separation. So how could there be a gerush? How could there be a divorce? Now please, I made this clear on Shabbos, and I want to make it clear again. But that kind of a question, how could there be a divorce? Anybody who's ever experienced that, when they would hear me ask such a question, would become very upset. What do you mean, how could there be a divorce? Let me introduce you to my ex-husband or ex-wife. I'll tell you exactly how there could be a divorce. How could there be a divorce? We tried. Please don't be simple. I'm not talking here about the reason there was a divorce because he didn't have a parnasa, or I didn't like her sheitel, or I'm not talking about that. And I'm not even talking about more serious disagreements. I'm talking about the root and the shirish of it. Please, I'm not talking about the symptoms where there's something wrong with the root and it comes out in a million ways. When people can't stand to live with each other, they can't stand to be married, then this one has tightness about how the other one, that you brush your teeth in the wrong direction. I do it in both directions, you should have started the other way. Kiyadua, whoever has had the misfortune of being in these situations, or God forbid, being in a home with their parents who are going through this, you know that everything becomes distasteful and loathsome. That's not the shorish, how he was brushing his teeth. And it's not even the shorish that he spoke there in a negative way, v'chulu, or she to him, or whatever. These are all enough from branches when there's something wrong in the shorish on the root. Because a real zivug is chod mamish, is chod, is oneness. In the same way you can't imagine your neshama from your body being taken, you can't even imagine such a thing. Who would dream of such a thing? So it shouldn't be able, it couldn't be a get, a divorce. So the Mishnah tells us the reason. The shayrish of all getting. And I'm sure there'll be individuals who have a problem dealing with this, or understanding this. Say that. Hamevi get memdinis hayam. Because the get is being brought from across the ocean. In other words, where does a get come from? How could there be a divorce? How could there be such a mitzias of a get? The Baruch Shalom is making zivugim. So the Mishnah says the reason that there could be a get, or the source of gerushin, of divorce, is from the Medina Sayom, it's from the land of the ocean, of the sea, outside of Eretz Yisrael. Medina Sayom is outside of Eretz Yisrael. So in Chassidus we're taught the following. In Chassidus we're taught that there are two ways of living. There are two primary ways of living. There's an Eretz Yisraelic way of living, and there's a Medina Sayom type of life. Eretz Yisrael doesn't only mean the land of Israel. There are many people that are living in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, in the old city, who are by Medina Sayom. As we spoke about a few weeks ago, that you are where your thoughts are. Eretz Yisrael dik means Kedusha, holiness. Eretz Yisrael means a life of holiness. The Medina Sayom, the land of the sea, the land beyond, that means the world of Chulin, the world that is profane, that is dark, that is secular, and void of holiness. That's called in Chassidus, or that's explained in Chassidus, as the deeper meaning of Medina Sayyar, the land of the sea. And there's an ocean. There's an ocean that separates. And many of us have been struggling, and sometimes we feel that we're drowning. There's an ocean that one must swim across from the land of the sea, from that land of the diaspora, of the exile. One must cross that stormy ocean, that very, very difficult ocean. One must safely cross that sea. That's why the mitzvahs are called boats. Mitzvahs are called boats. One must safely cross the sea from the Medina Sayyam, from the land of exile of the ocean, to get to the place of holiness of Kedusha. And there are many, many people now who don't make it across. There are many people, you know, like in that joke about the guy that, I'm not going to go through the whole joke, but you know, the fellows thought to swim across, there's a contest to swim across, let's say the English Channel, and they have different nationalities that are competing. I'm not going to get, any more graphic than that, but there are different nationalities. One of them is of Eastern European, location. Begins with a P and ends with a D. And they have to go across the ocean. Across the channel, and you know, so one starts to go, one of the guys starts to go 100, 200 meters, says, I can't manage, he goes back. The other guy goes 100, 200 meters, I can't make it across the channel, goes back. But the fellow from that country goes, mamish, till he's like 50 meters away from the other side, and he says, I can't do it, and he swims back. You know, like 4,000 miles the other way. No. So there are many, many people that they never started to swim across. They went a couple of feet, and they got tired. There are many who have gone almost to the other shore, almost, and then they became all of a sudden of that nationality. And they said, no, I can't. And then they swim back into Tuma, into the Medina Sayyam, and they put so much energy into the Medina Sayyam. If they put a little bit of that energy into Eretz Yisrael instead of to the land of the sea, they would have already been there in Yerushalayim on the Har HaBayis. So many people never make it across. And because of that, there are many people that are drowning. So I've often explained that Toveya, to drown, is connected to the word Teva, nature. And there are many, many people who are submerged in all kinds of desires and all kinds of bizarre things because they're not successfully crossing the channel. That very, very wavy ocean that separates between the Medina Sayyam life and the Eretz Yisrael Dikir life. Between the body and the soul. The guf is called Medina Sayyam, the land of the sea. That's the body, that's physical life. But the inner life is called the essence. The inner life is called Eretz Yisrael. That's why Eretz Yisrael, this from point out, means the word Eretz comes from the word Rotzen, desire. Eretz Yisrael means I want to be a Yisrael. I want to be a Jew. I want to be a Yid. Eretz Yisrael. I want to be a Jew. So how is this related to divorce? Hamei v'get mimdina sayam. Where does it get come from? How could there be a divorce? Where does that, how does it come into the world that Rabbeinu Shalom wanted Zivugim, he's Mezavik Zivugim, he's making matches, and it's oneness in the Plagufa, half of this, it's Gevalt. How does that happen that there should be a get, a Geirish? So the Mishnah says, you know why? Because there are people that become separated by the ocean. From themselves, from a husband, from a wife. Where the Yom, the ocean, has come between them. What does that mean? here comes something that might be hard to hear. But don't reject it offhand. Wait an hour or two till after. But try to think. There is such a thing as an emes de gezivik. A real zivik. A real, real zivik. The real thing, the real McCoy. Now, this is not something which was meant to be experienced or is necessarily experienced when going out before marriage. Please don't make the mistake that I'm talking about that. I'm talking about in marriage. How one is supposed to know that before marriage? Boy, this is a big problem. This is a big problem. And I've spoken about that on different occasions. When the zivig is an emesdik zivig that descends to the tahai mamish, to the essence of who you are, it didn't necessarily start that way. It started with a sort of a shy caring and liking and awareness with the right hashkafis and so on. But then it becomes realized through a zivug that is mamish to the depths. It reaches a point where one simply cannot, on any level, nefesh ruach neshama, on any level, ever envision being without that person. Being without that person is not death. It's beyond death. The same way that you can't imagine being without your neshama, without your neshama is sure, certain death. It's frightening. It's unthinkable. When Rabbi Levine said to the doctor that my wife's foot is hurting us because his wife wasn't well, he wasn't thinking that maybe someday some talented author would write a book and that there would be a great line from people to say to each other, or to speak about it some Sheva Bracha someday. He meant it. That my wife's foot is hurting us. And I can't bear it. So you want to know, how could there be a get? How could there be a gerishin? Even though many people felt they started that way. Two things. Number one. Very often, l'chadchila, to begin with, at that time of life when they were looking for shidduch. Very often, both the chasen and kala were living in the Medina Sayyam. They weren't in Eretz Yisrael, they were living in Medina Sayyam. And you know, I'm not talking about where your apartment is. I'm talking about where your heart and your mind. So many people, when they get married, the main criteria of marriage was that we really get along. He looks great. She looks great. Probably our children will look great. We like the same poetry. We listen to the same CDs. I don't know. Is there anything else? No. Stuff like that. Likes the same colors. We both dislike our in-laws. House for Shalom. No, so they find that they have these things in common. Is it really from the place of an Eretz Yisrael to get consideration? Are the Israeli people who at that point in life are living or rooted in Eretz Yisrael very, very often? The zivik to begin with was a zivik that the Baruch Shalom wasn't mezavik. It was a zivik that took place completely from people on the part, by people who were living in the Medina Sayyam, whose consideration was a physical consideration to begin with. Of course, it comes with, you know, you're wonderful, you're great, and I've never been so inspired. But all of these lines. But if the essential consideration is one of this world, of the Medina Sayyam, then you're asking, from how could there be a gap? The answer is, Hamevi get mimdinas hayam. Divorce has arrived, special delivery from the land of the sea. Because that's where your marriage came from, buddy. That's where it started. And that's where it ends up again. That's where it began. A pella. How often have I spoken to, you have a chasna kala, they're married for years, and no, gaitness, it doesn't go. One is starting to become more, feels more of a yearning for Yiddishkeit. One begins to become more concerned about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and about the tachlis of life. And the other one is still talking about, you know, where are we going Saturday night? That's the whole life is, where are we going Saturday night? Or whether the couch belongs in this corner, or in this corner, or this angle, or that angle. Or the person who throws himself so completely and devastatingly into parnasa ad kedei kach that there's mamish nothing left in this world for the Rebbeinu Shalom, for his neshama. So you ask Akasha, where does a get come from? The Mishnah says, Hamevi get, if there's a get, it comes from the Medina Sayyam, from the land beyond the sea, from that world outside of Eretz Yisrael. Not to say that it can't be, there can't be get in a different way. But the shayrish of a get is very often traced back to this. And it's hard to admit, especially with religious people. It's hard to admit that my main consideration was not from that deepest place of who I am. How many people claim that they were looking for the perfect one, and they went out for 7-8 years, and they were married for 7-8 months. Nabuch. A get comes from Venus Ayah. Not always, but the Shoyrish, there's something there. Number one. Number two. A second Hechet Timsa. It can be, and I've met many people like this also, it can be, that initially the marriage was an Eretz Yisraelic type of marriage. They were both concerned. She was coming out of seminary and he was coming out of yeshiva. He was still in yeshiva. It's good. And they were both had their minds on ruchnias, spiritual things. Although it's very hard not to fool oneself. But that at some point in the relationship, somebody or both drifted off to the Medina Sayyam. Sometimes you don't even realize it. Just drifted off to the Medina Sayyam. I remember a certain woman that came to cry to us when we were in the bungalow many years ago. She was a very, very fine, truly religious person. She came to cry that her husband comes for a few days to the mountains from the city, and he's the whole time by the horse track, except for Shabbos, and he's talking about the horse track. A person is where his mind is, so that person was on the horse track. She says, so I asked this. Did he display at an early point in your relationship this fascination with horses? I didn't say it that way. You know, like, when did this, like, what happened? Was it always this way? So she said, no, he was an unbelievable Ben Tyra. He's an unbelievable, terrific Ben Tyra. Nope, whatever happened. Something went wrong, and that person was now living in the Medina Sayyam, and he had very little in common with his wife, who was an Eretz Yisraelic person, or vice versa. Or when both go up to the Medina Sayyam. What happens then is that then the marriage descends into a partnership. Partners, very often, if a partnership doesn't work out, you dissolve the partnership. Partnerships are dissolved. They're made to be dissolved. Then it becomes a partnership. Then the shaila is, that's what you see with people who can't stand each other, Chalila. He has this, she has that. And then when they have the disagreements about how to divide up how to divide up Nebuch, the belongings, the children, it was a shutfus. It wasn't a zivug. It was, or maybe it began as one, but then it was a Medina Sayyam. It went into exile across the ocean. So a get is possible because there is an ocean that exists in this world, and it's frightening, and there are many people who have never crossed the sea that separates between the physical and spiritual, and their marriage was a marriage that took place completely in the physical realm. Not to say that's not important. Of course it's important, an attraction, all of that. But the marriage was one that took place completely in the Medina Sayyam, or even though it might have taken place in Eretz Yisrael, but eventually one or both moved to the Medina Sayyam. And that's where Gittin comes from. So now let's go to Hashem. Because, you know, the Jewish people in Hashem were married at Har Sinai, and that's the deeper meaning of a bracha that takes place at every Jewish wedding. Mekadesh Amo Yisrael Al Yidei Chupa V'Kiddushin. That Hashem, it doesn't only mean that Hashem sanctifies His people through marriage. It means that the relationship of Hashem and the Jewish people was sanctified through Chupa V'Kiddushin. And when was that? At Har Sinai. And therefore we have a rule in Halacha. The Tashbetz writes, Nekoy Klal Zeh B'Yodcha. Hold on to this principle. Kol HaMenhagim Shel Choson V'Shel Kalo Anu Loimdim Mimatan Torah. All of the customs by a Jewish wedding, we learn from the story of Matan Torah, of the giving of the Torah, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Mahara Atzma Kechosn, Neged HaKala Shehem Yisrael. Because Shekadosh Baruch Hu was the Chosn, was the Chosn by Har Sinai, and the Jewish people were the Kala. And all the customs that take place at the Jewish wedding return to the original Chosn of the Mekadesh Amo Yisrael, the Echupa V'Kiddush. Hashem's marriage with Klai Yisrael. But let's understand now. If that's true, and it must be true. And if a husband and wife in this world is a reflection of the supernal husband and wife, which is the Shechina, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And marriage here in this world is a reflection, the oneness that can be achieved in marriage is a reflection of the oneness that can be achieved between the Shechina and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between Knesset Yisrael and Hashem. All the psukim of Tanakh, ve'yastich li la'olam, of Hashem's being engaged to us and married to us. So the meaning of it is that the emes zivug, the true match between Hashem and His kala, between Hashem and the Jewish people, is such that when a Jew is properly married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he can't conceive bichlal of being without Him. Mamish can't live without Him for a minute. It's a plagufa, you're half a human being. Without the Baruch Shalom Echaz. It's half. The Baal Shem Tov had a Kabbalah that only a person who has really loved a woman can understand what it means to love their Baruch Shalom Echaz. And the way the Rambam describes Ahavas Hashem. And Mi'idach, conversely, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't conceive of living without a Jew. That's the zivug. Hashem can't live without Klal Yisrael. Kivyachol, I don't mean in His essence, Chas V'Shalom. And how he's manifested Himself in our lives, in this world, which is called the Shechina, which is what we're talking about, Hashem cannot conceive of being without Klal Yisrael. Without His people, without the Jewish people, without every Jewish person. Who understands the level, the depth of Hashem's mourning over a Jew who's, God forbid, gone away? And that's the meaning of what the Zohar says. Yisrael v'kudsh yibrichu kulo chad. Hashem and Yisrael and the Jewish people are one. That means that each without the other is not. That's what it means. Only when they're together they are. Yisrael, a Jew, and kivyochel Hashem in this world is not. He's not one. Without Klal Yisrael. Shema Yisrael Hashem v'kenu Hashem achad. If the Jewish people listen, then Hashem is one. If the Jewish people don't listen, Hashem is one. V'atem advekim b'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom. So now we understand. The Medrash says, gracious. Listen carefully. V'yishalcheyu Hashem Elokim migan Eden. Hashem sent Adam and Chava out from paradise. Out. Separation. The Medrash says, that's what it says in Pasuk. The Medrash says, Vedanti oisam begerishin, and I was judging, I considered this a form of separation of divorce. Dechsi vayigarish es adam. It says vayigarish. It says a lashon of gerishin, of divorce. And when I did that, Hashem says, according to the Medrash, koinanti alav eicha. I cried out, Hashem cried out, eicha, like we did on Tisha B'Av, eicha, how could it be? Shenemar, as it's written by Adam and Chava, Vayomelo Ayeka, Hashem said to Adam, where are you? Ayeka, which is the letter, is Eicha. How could it be? Where are you? That's what Hashem calls out to any Jew. As the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, not to Libcha, where is your heart taking you? Away from me. Eicha, Ayeka. So then the Medrash goes on and says, Av Bonav Hechnastim L'Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem said the descendants of Adam Harishon, I brought them, meaning the Jewish people, I brought them to the land of Israel, I brought them to Eretz Yisrael, it's a visum, and I gave them the mitzvahs, the Torah, for overall at Sivui. And they were rebellious. They rebelled against me. My Kala. So Danti Oysam B'Shiluch in the Begerishon, therefore they had to be separated from me. I sent them out. Exile. Medina Sayyam. The koinanti alehim eicha, and I'm crying over them. Eicha yoshva badad ha'ir abosiyam, I'm crying over them. Tisha b'av, eicha. Eicha yoshva badad. So the meaning of this is, let's understand the meaning. The Malbim that we began with said that the Novi is saying where's the book of divorce? I is Sefer Krisus Simcha. When did I ever give you a divorce? And the Malbim explained the meaning of this is, it's true that Hashem has been upset with us. It's true because we've rebelled. And Hashem says, therefore, they have to be sent out. There's a separation. But the Medrash is telling us that Hashem is crying, Eicha, Ayeka, where are we? Which means that it's not that He hates us or He's disgusted with us. The Jewish people feel that we've been separated from Hashem in such a way that our husband has left us and he's somewhere by Medina Sayyam, or we've gone to the Medina Sayyam, and that our husband, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem is never going to return. But the Malbim explained that's not true. And Hashem, in desperation, calls that Eza Sefer Krisus, I never divorced you. There's a separation, and the separation is because of your sins, because of the rebellion. I've never divorced you. Which means that we are a real zivug with Hashem. And there isn't a Jew who doesn't have a quiet moment of clarity and of tshuva and return. Where you realize in that moment that you can't live without being a Jew. You can't live without Yiddishkeit. Like so many people who weren't religious, they came to that realization, I can't live self-kosof, I can't live like this. That means that the zivug between you and Hashem is a zivug that reaches down to the depths, even though it's true that we've wandered off also far, plunged into the Medina Sayyam. And because we've thrown ourselves into physical things in the land of the sea, so it seems to us that our husband has deserted us forever, and we've been sent out to the Medina Sayyam. Because Baruch Hu's saying, just as I can't live without you, I know you can't live without me, I know in the depths of who you are, I alone know that you have those moments, and you remember me, and I know that you can't live without being a Jew. That means that the zivug is emistic. And if there's a problem, it's because we need to work on it together. There's a problem. There's a merit. There's a rebellion. As it says in Pasuk, that because of your sins, you were sent away. Not because I hate you. Not because it's not a zivug. Not because a Jew really wants to live in the Medina Sayyam. It's not true. Jews who are living in the Medina Sayyam, eventually they can't stand themselves. They hate themselves for it. So now we come back to something that I mentioned to you last year. A very beautiful teaching. from Rabbeinu Geshem, that Rabbeinu Geshem is called Rabbeinu Geshem Mu'or HaGoyla. There's one Jew who has this extraordinary title. He's called Rabbeinu Geshem Mu'or HaGoyla, Rabbeinu Geshem, the light of the exile. Why did Rabbeinu Geshem receive that title of being the light of the exile? So Holy Rebbe Reb Leibel Eger explained, because there are many decrees that, as you know, that were passed by Rabbeinu Geshem in his time. But the two most famous, the two most powerful, the two that have been accepted by almost all Jewish communities in the world. I'm saying that if we don't know if there's a tradition of it being accepted, we assume that it's accepted in that place. The two most famous injunctions of Rabbeinu Geshem were that a husband cannot force his wife to be divorced from him. You can't force your wife to receive a get. And number two, that a Jewish man can no longer marry, he's not allowed to marry more than one wife. More than one woman. So Rabbi Leibler says, that's why Rabbeinu Geshem is called the light of the exile. Because through the long years of exile, the Jewish people began to worry that perhaps, Hashem is never going to return, that perhaps it's permanent. And perhaps Hashem is forced to divorce upon us because we don't want to be separated from Him. Really, we don't want to, God forbid, leave our Yiddishkeit. Averis we enjoy, but never. But we don't want to be divorced. And then we're also afraid that maybe Hashem, our enemies have flaunted this in our faces to say that you were once chosen, but then Hashem took a second one. You've been either divorced or you're still there, and Hashem has taken someone in the new Israel. So Reb Leibler said, therefore, Rabbeinu Geshem's two decrees, they're not just between a man and a wife. That's only a reflection in this world, but from the very root of existence, it means, as it says in the Gemara, in Gittin, it says, and Afnun Zayinim would base the Gemara in Gittin, says, that Hashem is Baruch, Hashem swore, She'ein Mavir Oysonu B'um Acheres, that He will never exchange us for another nation. And the Lashon and the Gemara in Kiddushin, that deals with marriage, and the Aflamet Vav, L'Hachlifon B'um Acheres, Ein Yachol. Hashem says, to switch the Jews with another nation, Ein Yachol. Not that I don't want to, what is it, Ein Yachol? I cannot. Hashem says, I can never separate myself from the Jewish people or from any individual Jew. Ein Yachol. So Rabbeinu Geshem is the light of the exile, because he's the reminder to every Jew who's in exile, to the Jewish people who are in exile, that never, ever, ever has Hashem given us a book of divorce. Never can He force us away from Him. Never has He taken anybody to replace you. And if God forbid you're not living as a Jew that's married to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the right way, there's no one that's replacing you. It's something which you're irreplaceable in Hashem's, under Hashem's chuppah, you're irreplaceable. You're mamish irreplaceable. And now we conclude with Tuba Av, with the 15th of Av. Tuba Av. So we spoke about it last week. And on Tuba Av, the marriages, the Shidduchim were being made after Tisha B'Av. And the girls of Yerushalayim would go and form a circle. The girls that were attractive would say, Tnu Enechem L'Yoifi, look for beauty. Those who weren't attractive would say, "Tnu Enechem L'Mishpacha, look for a good family." Shekachein v'hevel yoif. Beauty isn't the only thing. For Mishpacha. And they all agreed, even those that were most ugly, would say, "You should take a wife l'shem shemayim, for the sake of heaven." Slobavitcher Rebbe Schusser Gelinov taught that there are Jews who are beautiful. Tzaddik. And they say, Master of the world, look, I'm trying to be beautiful. Look. What a shidduch. It's good. But then there are Jews who are not so beautiful. And they say, Hashem, I come from a good mishpacha. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, I come from a good mishpacha. You know my mishpacha. So they say, look at the family. I'm not such a good boy. I'm not such a good girl. But I come from such a gevaldig family. And there are those who are mamish homely. They don't have a good family either. Meaning, that in their immediate upbringing, they can't show that they had holiness given to them. Some could say that much. Mishpacha. So then, there are those who get, maybe from Avi Yitzchak and Yaakov, but it hasn't filtered into your family, into your life. So then we say to Hashem, take a kala l'shem shemayim. Take a kala for your sake. Hashem for your sake. Take a kala. And here I want to tell you a story. I know it's late, I'm sorry. I told this story in shul last week. Made a big reshim on me. I'd seen it many years ago, and then I was reminded because I read it someplace recently in something that a friend of mine sent me. And it hit me so strongly that really I should save this for later on for Shonim Kippur, but I can't. I want to share it with you now. Rav Itzel of Horka, from the time that he was a child, was best friends with the holy Triska Magid, the Mogen Avrom from Trisk, the Avromel from Trisk, of the Chernobyl Mishpach. And they made up, they were inseparable. They made up that even though they would be separated in different cities, different towns, that each week they would send at least one letter to each other. It wasn't so far. So what they did was that for over 20 years, every single Erev Shabbos, there was a certain Jew, but that was his job. Rav Itzel of Horka would write a letter and send this in an envelope. This Jew, his job was, he must have been a special person. His job was to go across a forest and cross over something here and go a couple hours until he would come to Trisk and deliver it to Triska Magid, or wherever Triska Magid was at that time. And, because I don't know how close it was from Trisk to, it wasn't so close, so it must be there somewhere else. And then to bring back a letter from Triska Magid to Rav Itzel of Horka. So that the Jew would come back in time for Shabbos. And he did this for 20 years. So you know how it is with the Yetzer Hara. It's the guy had a Yetzer Hara. He's doing this for 20 years. And the envelope was never sealed. So he said, you know, it's terrible of me, but I, you know, maybe there's some Torah that I could learn from this, you know. So he opened up the letter. Rav Itzel's letter. It was a blank piece of paper. Mamash blank. Couldn't believe it. He was devastated. 20 years he's carrying these papers. Some sort of a trick. And then on the way back from Triska Magid, of course, as soon as he gets out of town, he opens up Triska Magid's letter. Blank. He comes to Vorka for Shabbos. He can't even look at the Rebbe's face. It's like, this whole thing's a fake. It's a betrayal. After Shabbos, he decided that even though he has to admit what he did, he's going to tell Rebbe Slick because he can't go like this. So after Shabbos, he goes to Abyssinland and he says, Rebbe, I'm so upset. And Rebbe says, I saw that you're upset. What is it? So he said, you know, for 20 years, I'm carrying the Rebbe's letters, Triska Magid's letters. Rebbe says, yes. It's a great mitzvah. So he says, I have to admit that something terrible happened. I had a Yetzer Hara, you know, for 20 years I was holding back. But I looked at the letter. And Abyssinland said, no. It was blank. And the letter that was sent back by Triska Magid was also blank. So what is this? What is this? So Vitzel said, listen to me. The Torah is written black letters upon white parchment. A black fire upon a white fire. And the Zohar teaches us that the white fire is much deeper than the black fire. Because the black fire are the letters that Hashem can speak to us. It's the words that can be uttered. But then there's the white parchment that's so deep that comes from such a place of love that it can't be put into black letters. Many times over the years I have written to my friend. He's written back to me. But sometimes the longing for my friend is so deep and so great that I can do nothing but send him a blank letter because that's the white parchment. It's a gewaltige story. Maybe it's time. There's been so many words spoken. It's time maybe for the white parchment to be revealed. Over the years, Klai Yisrael have sent Hashem many such letters. And Hashem has sent us many such letters, but we're waiting to hear from the Chosen for his return. And so too, in each of our lives, One has to know how to give letters like that. It's a chachma. The world is filled with letters, with words. But the emes de gezivah comes from that place of the white parchment. It can't be scratched, it can't be erased, it can't be removed. It is because it is. And it descends to the essence. Kadosh Baruch should help us as we're entering into the month. We're going to be benching the month of Elul. It's the holy name of Elul, Ani L'Daydi V'Daydi Li. It should be a month of an emes de gezivah between each one of us, not Kadosh Baruch Hu, and between each one in his home. There's Chos and Kal, we have Baruch Hashem here. A number of very special Chasanim and Kalas. I'm very proud of and very excited for. And I believe have that kind of a relationship. And that kind of relationship will grow in Mitzvah Shem over the years. And bring them great bracha. More and more bracha. Hashem should give us the privilege of seeing each and every one of us sing that in our lives. Yehi shalom b'cheilech, shalva b'menesayech. We should be zeicher to see the coming of that day when all the envelopes will be open. V'yis Mashiach tzekein v'hem yameinu v'amein v'amein. If you give a moment, please, Reb Nochum, who's our chosen, one of our chasanim.